Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is an encore edition of Soundcheck.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship.
Just sit right back and you'll hear the tale of the long-lost TV theme song. This is Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. Coming up today, keyboardist Marco Benevento of the indie instrumental band Benevento Russo Duo performs live on our piano with some strange noisemakers. But first, if you're a TV viewer of a certain age, you can probably sing a few lines from at least a dozen classic TV theme songs from Gilligan's Island to the Brady Bunch. But as memorable as these TV themes seem to be, few of today's programs open with one. We'll talk with the duo who crafted opening songs for shows like Good Times and Alice in a moment. But first, Eric Deggans is here to tell us why the TV theme song is an endangered species. Eric is the media critic of the St. Petersburg Times. He joins us from the Poynter Institute in St. Petersburg, Florida. Eric, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me.
So let's define our terms here first. What specifically are we talking about? Are you saying that TV shows don't have any music of any kind at the beginning anymore?
No, what I'm saying is that many TV shows, especially newer ones, on the networks have cut down their opening themes to the point where they might just be a snatch of music, they might be a few seconds of a composition. But they're not full-blown theme songs like we remember, where they could actually be hits on the radio like the Friends theme song once was, or something that you could sing along with, like the Gilligan's Island theme that you played earlier.
Right. But I'm not all that broken up about the Gilligan's Island theme song not being on TV anymore. Why are you?
Well, because I think for a lot of us, these theme songs also evoke certain points in our lives, things that we remember we were going through or that we were enjoying at the time that these theme songs were popular. And you may not feel broken up about Gilligan's Island being gone, but you may have loved the theme song to Mission Impossible, which was a great tune, or the theme song to Peter Gunn, which was a great tune, or the theme song to Friends, which was a wonderful song, or the theme song to Miami Vice. I mean, you could go on and on and on naming theme songs that were either memorable because they were great songs, or memorable because they reminded you of really great shows, or memorable because they reminded you about wonderful things in your life that were going on at the time.
And didn't some of them serve another purpose? I mean, if you talk about Gilligan's Island or the Brady Bunch, I mean, you could come as a stranger to that TV show and get it just in the first minute because the theme song told you it set up the story of the show.
Well, that was the interesting thing. I did this story about the disappearance of the theme song that was published at the end of December, and I categorized the theme songs, and I call that kind of theme song an explainer theme song, in which the whole premise of the show is wrapped up in the theme song, so that as they're introducing who is the lead actors on the show, you're also getting a little tutorial on what the central concept of the show is. So the very first scene can kind of start at a point where they don't have to explain all that stuff to you. And, you know, if you know anything about the history of Gilligan's Island, the producer who created the show, Sherwood Schwartz, kind of came up with that on a lark, wrote the theme song on the back of a cocktail napkin. But he knew he needed something at the beginning of the show to sort of explain to people what this concept was in a really quick, entertaining way. And all of a sudden, you have a theme song that people are singing, for better or worse, 40 years later.
Another one that, as you call it, an explainer theme song was for the TV series The Jeffersons. Let's hear a little of that.
Well, we're moving on. Just to get up there.
Jeffersons, a TV sitcom about, you know, African-American guy who makes a pile of money and he's able to move on up to the east side with his family. And so this kind of sets up the backstory for the TV series. But this sort of TV theme song, this explainer tune, is disappearing, as Eric Deggans is telling us, media critic for the St. Petersburg Times. And we want to know what you think. What are your favorite TV show themes? And do you really miss them? Do you miss the long introductions to the shows? Are you happy just to get right into it? You can leave a comment on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org, or you can call us at 212-264-7483. 264-7483. Let's bring in Alan and Marilyn Bergman. For more than 50 years, this husband and wife team has written songs for film, TV, and artists like Frank Sinatra and Ray Charles. But they also wrote the television theme songs for Good Times, Alice, and Maude. And they join us by phone from L.A. Alan, Marilyn, let me ask you first, do you guys agree with Eric? Is the TV theme song on the way out?
Well, I haven't heard of one in a long time. I'm sure he's right.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think the explanation is probably correct, that this is the valuable airtime that can better be used either to get right into the show or maybe sell another commercial. I don't know. It's a little humbling that in Eric's list of the 10 best theme songs, we don't have one there.
We don't have one there.
No, we don't.
Well, what I will break in and say is that I listed on my blog called The Feed, if anybody wants to check it out, four theme songs that were almost made the cut, that were almost there, and Good Times was on that list.
Oh, well, I can't tell you how good that makes me feel. I've almost made the cut.
It was with the slot that Sanford and Son was in, I almost went with Good Times, but I'm such a huge fan of Quincy Jones that I put Sanford there.
All right, but Eric, let me ask you to follow up on something that Marilyn just mentioned, which is airtime is precious, it's valuable. It could be used to either get you right into the show or sell another ad. Which does it actually turn out to be more often than not?
I think it's both, depending on the show. If you think about a show like Frasier, for example, I talked in the story about how Frasier moved its theme song to the end of the episode. And in that case, it's still taking up the same amount of space, but you get into the show much quicker. The scene starts when the show starts, and you just have a little tinkle of music, and the opening graphic flashes, and then you're kind of into the show. There are other shows, especially, again, more modern shows, where, you know, ER, for example, there used to be a big, long opening sequence where you saw all the stars, and I think once they realized that George Clooney and Anthony Edwards and Noah Wiley had all left the show, all the opening sequence did was remind people that all these actors had left the show. So they wound up getting rid of it. And now just an opening chord plays, and there's a graphic, and then you're into the show. And in that case, I bet that time was replaced by a commercial.
All right. Alan, Marilyn, why write songs for TV? I mean, you guys had a long track record. What was the attraction for getting into writing theme songs?
Well, the interesting thing is, in the times that we wrote Maude and Good Times, you had 45 seconds to set up the show or the environment that the show was in, and hopefully in an infectious way that the audience would identify with it, and when it came on each week, succeeding week, would almost sing along with it and be comfortable knowing that the characters are going to be there. And I think that's what it was for.
I was wondering, did you guys get any residuals? Do you
sure.
see any income from?
Sure. Of course you do. You get beautiful ASCAP performances.
Yeah.
I should mention Marilyn is also the president of ASCAP.
Yeah.
Marilyn, how did you guys approach writing, say, Good Times, a theme for an inner city sitcom? What was the approach there?
Well, it was it always is to kind of identify the show and the characters that is going to follow the main title of the television show. We most of the time viewed these songs as kind of writing entrances for these characters. Maud, for example, was we wrote that as an entrance for the B. Arthur character, Maud. And why did we write it? We thought the show was terrific. Norman Lear called us and asked us if we would write it. We looked at a couple of the shows, the pilot. We loved them and thought this was a great way to write like a Hello, Dolly for a television show.
But in 45 seconds.
People might want to listen to week after week and not get bored hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind me breaking in, I got to ask one more question. People who are fans of the Good Times theme have this one question that I'm sure they always ask you. But what is she saying after they say scratching and surviving? What's the line after that?
Something in jiving, I know.
Yeah.
I don't have the lyric in front of me.
For people who are listening who may not know what I'm talking about.
Hanging and jiving.
There's a line of the song that comes in, I think, the second or the third verse where nobody can figure out what exactly the singer is saying, and I figured I'd ask the composers.
Well, you know what?
I think it's hanging in or hanging out and jiving. It's hanging out and jiving.
I think it's hanging in.
You know what we'll do, folks? Let's listen. Here is the theme from Good Times, written by Alan and Marilyn Bergman. Sounds like hanging and jiving to me, but of course, once it's explained to you, you can kind of make it out. But Eric Deggans.
Well, I tell you, as a child, I listened to that 1,000 times and had no idea what she was saying.
But you know, another one was All in the Family. G.R. Old LaSalle ran great. People had no idea what that lyric was, until it was like printed in a newspaper or something, because people kept asking.
It hurt the show, didn't it?
Yeah, right.
But we can't forget, too, that, you know, the melodies for Good Times and Maud were written by Dave Grusin, who's a marvelous composer.
Mm-hmm. Who I believe wrote the ER theme.
And many others as well, yeah.
Indeed.
We're speaking with Alan and Marilyn Bergman, the husband and wife team who've written songs for over 50 years, including a number of memorable TV themes. Eric Deggans is media critic of the St. Petersburg Times. We're talking about the endangered species that is the television theme song. And let's hear what some of our Soundcheck listeners have to say. We'll begin with Tim on Staten Island. Hiya, Tim.
Hi, how you doing?
What do you think of, do you miss them?
I do somewhat. I really just want to make a case for the TV theme song as a uniter of Americans from different cultures. I was I'm an actor, and when I was a young actor, I was on tour. I was the only white person, and it was my first experience being like the only white person where everyone else is African American. And I'll tell you, we were friendly, but it wasn't until we spent an afternoon singing TV theme songs in the van that we really bonded and realized, you know, we had this common thing in our backgrounds, watching the same dumb shows and knowing the same dumb songs.
That's a good point. And Alan, Marilyn, kind of goes back to what I was asking you guys before about, you know, writing Good Times, an inner city sitcom. You must have known that this was going to sort of cut across, racial lines.
Well, the show was about an African-American family, mm-hmm. and I think what we tried to write was an amusing, kind of satiric song that played against the same thing that I think why they called the show Good Times. These were hardly good times for an African-American family, in the inner cities of this country.
Norman Lear sent us over the pilot. It didn't have a title. And we just looked at it and said, oh, good times.
You were playing against type in a sense there.
Yeah, I wanted to point out that I'm 42 years old and I'm African American. I grew up in Gary, Indiana, which is right outside of Chicago. And I will tell you that that song perfectly summed up not only what it felt like growing up in the 70s in that same environment, but the show itself was an incredible inspiration because it was the first time I could remember watching television and seeing people like me mm-hmm. going through things that I was going through. Huh. I wasn't lucky enough to have a father in the house the way James Evans mm-hmm. was in at least the first season. But I really identified with those characters, and I thought the song totally summed up our attitude about the way things were. So you guys did a great job.
All right. Eric Deggans is with us from the Poynter Institute in St. Petersburg, Florida. Alan and Marilyn Bergman, the songwriting team, with us on the phone from L.A. And Tim from Staten Island, that was a great point about these TV theme songs possibly serving a unifying purpose among different people. Let's see what some of our other Soundcheck listeners have to say. Julie joins us on the line from Brooklyn. Hey, Julie.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. Are you a fan?
I'm a big fan. I'm a huge fan of the theme songs for television. For me, I feel that I'm in my early 30s, and I feel that for my generation, they became the show tunes of the family. I know that in my family, whenever a theme song for a show came on, whether we cared about the show or not, we sang along together with the song. And I would sing them all day long. And then growing up into, you know, my early adulthood, when I moved to New York City and my roommates and I would join together in the morning with our coffee after whatever horrible jobs we were working, we would just sing as a group, Moving On Up. And it was humorous, but it was really true. And that and the Good Times song as well. I mean, it was an uplifting moment, and it was something that did, in fact, as the previous caller said, unify us, regardless of our backgrounds and upbringings and whatever. I mean, these were universal themes that carried throughout everyone's lives.
Oh yeah,
all of that done in less than a minute. It really is kind of amazing when you think of it. Eric, can you hold the thought for just a moment?
Sure,
we need to take a quick break. And when we continue, we'll hear about some of the shows that are keeping the TV theme song alive. And then coming up later on Soundcheck, Avant Jazz keyboardist Marco Benevento talks about playing everything from Benny Goodman to this music, the theme from the Rockford Files. And he'll play live in our studio. That's all still to come. You're listening to Soundcheck.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and, well, welcome back. We continue our look back at TV theme songs. Joining us from the Poynter Institute in St. Petersburg, Florida, is Eric Deggans, media critic for the St. Petersburg Times. And on the phone from L.A. are the songwriting duo Marilyn and Alan Bergman. Alan, Eric mentioned before that sometimes these TV theme songs would go on to become hits in their own right, like this John Sebastian song, Welcome Back, Cotter. Is there a difference between writing specifically for TV and writing, a quote-unquote pop song?
Well, you know, when you write for a TV show, you're writing a specific... it's like you're trying to make a tailor-made suit for this program. And if the program is really true, and like one of your callers called in, that it was a reflection of their lives, there's a universal there. And if you find the nugget, the real universal, in the song, and then it can become very popular.
And what about Marilyn having to do this all in such a condensed period of time? What does that do to the songwriting process?
Well, that's very challenging. Though the time kept shrinking, I think. As Alan said earlier, originally we were given 45 seconds, which is, depending upon how you structured the song, it could be a full chorus of the song. But, you know, you certainly had to keep time in mind very strictly when you were writing for this, you know, a very condensed form.
Eric, are there, you know, even with all the different examples in your article, which, by the way, is linked on the soundcheck page of our website, are there exceptions? Is there anything happening maybe on cable that has kept the theme song tradition alive?
That's what's so interesting is that when you look at types of TV programming that are freed from the constraints of commercials and even freed a little bit from the constraints of airtime, airtime slots, you look at premium cable. Almost all of those shows that we know from premium cable, from The Sopranos to The Wire to Showtime's Dexter and Weeds, all of those shows have theme songs, and they not only have theme songs, they have really good and involved and complex theme songs. So I think if the theme song were kind of an annoyance or something that was sort of crass and commercialized, the first thing those shows would do is stop doing them. But It's obvious that they're important to people who produce premium television, who don't have commercials and can tell a story over 55 minutes or 60 minutes or 65 minutes if they choose. They always have a theme song, and quite often they're very creative, and they change from season to season.
You mean that they'll actually change the artists who are doing the theme song in some of
these
series?
Well, The Wire has a great convention, the HBO's cop drama, where they have a different person cover this tune that was written by Tom Waits called Down in the Hole. Weeds picked up on that tradition, and for every episode, they have a different band do their theme song. So well, that's a way to change the theme song, but keep it the same at the same time.
The Wire, their theme song, is Way Down in the Hole. As you mentioned, it's this Tom Waits song. And here is the version done by the Blind Boys of Alabama for the HBO drama.
If you walk with Jesus, he'll save your soul. Gotta keep the devil down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at his command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be saved from Satan. The devil way down in the hole.
From the HBO series The Wire, their theme song, Way Down in the Hole, is performed each season by a different band or artist, in this case the Blind Boys of Alabama. We're talking about the magical disappearing TV theme song with Eric Deggans, who's written about this for the St. Petersburg Times. On our soundcheck page on the website, WNYC.org, you'll find a link to Eric's article, and you'll find a lot of your fellow listeners leaving comments. There's kind of an interesting discussion going on right now on the soundcheck page. You can be a part of that. But right now, let's go back to the phones. We have both Marilyn and Alan Bergman with us, the songwriting team, and a number of our listeners, including Jeremy in Queens.
Hi.
Jeremy, I understand you work for the Actors Studio?
Inside the Actors Studio, that's right. I'm the researcher for it.
Uh-huh.
And we have Angelo Badalamenti writing our theme music, which we adore, and I'm a big fan of the Twin Peaks.
Right, he did the Twin Peaks music.
Yeah. I got to say, probably the best for me, which was a kind of stealth explainer that explained, you know, without being felt like you were, it was like the Patty Duke show where they were literally telling you that they were cousins and they're... It was the first version of the Mary Tyler Moore theme song. How will you make it on your own? It was they changed it later because they thought it was too downbeat. But that's really good.
Well, that's an interesting point as well, the idea of changing in sort of midstream. Eric, didn't Cheers at one point drop the words from Everybody Knows Your Name and go with an instrumental version?
I'm not familiar with that, but it's very possible. And sometimes what happens is that when shows go into syndicated reruns, they shorten or change the theme because they want to change the spacing of the commercials or they want to add more commercials to the show. So you may find sometimes at a very shortened theme song. And, of course, you know, the very famous thing is that they changed the theme song to Gilligan's Island to include Marianne and Ginger
right.
At some point. And I also like that idea of the explainer theme song that isn't really overtly explaining things to you. One reason why All in the Family made the top of my list is because it wasn't an explainer theme song, but it was totally subtle. You had the two characters explaining how they felt about life in the 70s, how confused they felt and how they wished, how they looked back to an earlier time when things seemed to be simpler. And that was sort of the undercurrent theme that ran throughout the entire series. But it was never sort of overtly explained to you. You had to know the characters and you had to know how they felt about life.
Similarly, Happy Days, you know, when you heard that music, that pretty much told you, you know, approximately where you would be, any town, USA, and certainly when you would be, you know, late 50s. So it explained without explaining anything too literally. Let me give the last word here to the music journalist Peter Keepnews, who is one of the people writing in on our the comments page, soundcheck at WNYC.org. He writes, "There are plenty of great TV theme songs today. Granted, most of them don't have words, but so what? The Office, 2 and a Half Men, How I Met Your Mother, Medium. No or few words granted, but melodies that stick in your head, or mine anyway." And we'll need to leave it there. We've been speaking with Marilyn and Alan Bergman, who have written the lyrics for a number of TV theme songs, including Good Times and Maude, and with Eric Deggans, the media critic for the St. Petersburg Times. Alan, Marilyn, Eric, thank you all for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And still to come, the keyboard playing half of the Benevento Russo duo talks about his latest album. Stay tuned for a live performance from Marco Benevento. This is Soundcheck.
And then there's Maud.
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 And then there's
that uncompromising, enterprising, anything but tranquilizing.
Right on, Maud.